Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call Senate Finance Committee to order and welcome everybody for the afternoon session. Time is 4 minutes after 2 p.m. Thursday, April 15th, 2010. With me today is Co-Chair Senator Hoffman, Senator Ellis, Senator Huggins, Senator Thomas, Senator Egan, and Senator Olson will be showing up. He's in the building. Six bills on the agenda this afternoon. House Bill 424, GEO Bonds for the Education Library Research Facilities working on. House Bill 369, In-State Gas Pipeline. House Concurrent Resolution 22, Alaskan Northern Waters Task Force. House Bill 294, Use Regulations and Operations of Boats. House Bill 342, Extend Board of Real Estate Appraisers. House Bill 376, Extend Board of Psychologists. And I'd like to remind everybody, especially from the administration, to make sure you sign up on the sheet so I know you're here to speak on what item in case there's a question. And even if it's if you see a bill over the next few days when they're posted as second hearing or a public participation is closed, I'd still like to have who's here on the bills, because questions do come up and it's easier to pick that up and call the administration up to help us sort through some of these issues in the last few days. House Bill 369, In-State Gas Pipeline, might slip up and down the calendar a little bit this afternoon because the bill sponsor is down in other meetings and he's going to be here as soon as he can. But we're going to go ahead and start with House Bill 424 by the House Finance Committee regarding general obligation bonds. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to hear from the bill sponsor, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. With us today is Representative Bill Stoltz.
Thank you, Chairman Stedman. Bill Stoltz, House District 16, Chugiak, Mat-Su, Southern Rural Mat-Su. Here today, though, in my capacity as co-chair of the House Finance Committee, presenting a bill sponsored by our committee. Bill is House Bill 424, a general obligation bond measure to allow Alaskans to vote in the upcoming general election on a package totaling $397,200,000. For education, K-12, post-secondary education, and educational research facilities throughout Alaska. As I said, the proposal includes K-12 schools, campuses for the Mat-Su, project for the Mat-Su, the Kenai Peninsula, University of Alaska Fairbanks, University of Alaska Anchorage, Prince William Sound Community College, project for the Voc Tech Center in the Kluak School District on Prince of Wales Island, and of course the Near Island Research Facility in Kodiak. I get this admonition in the other book, too. Yeah. House Bill 424 is very similar to previous bond packages that have been presented to the voters of Alaska, the most recent being in 2002, which contained a combination of rural schools and funding for school debt reimbursement. Over the history of our state, there have been 10 bond proposals, and Alaskans have sided with the legislature's approach 10 out of 10 times, the most recent time in 2002, by a margin somewhere approaching 60%, I believe 59%. These 59.6, I guess there's notes here too. These bonds will be sold utilizing the Build America bonds, which were eligible for 35% of the interest over a 20-year period. amount over that maturity, over the life of those general obligation bonds if they're approved and sold, just a little bit south of $30 million in savings, $29 million in some amount over the 20-year course of those. Under these provisions, that 35% payment, direct payment in reduction of interest paid by the federal government, but these bonds must be sold by the 31st day of December prior to the next calendar year. So there's language in here to facilitate some of the procedures normally in place to allow more, allow our bond folks to have more nimbleness and agility in accomplishing this in that month and some long process. This is an approach to address our needed educational needs, or excuse me, our some of our essential education needs. The three rural schools are commonly known as the Kasaili schools. There are certainly, we're all aware of litigation that's brought these before us. And I think, in, notwithstanding litigation, I think we have moral imperatives to fund these rural schools. We all know the needs of our post-secondary institutions throughout the state. I wish we had the ability to fund them all. I think there's a capacity of which it's reasonable to ask the voters to bite off at one time. And certainly that limits how the breadth of our of the amount and the reach throughout Alaska. I'd like to have more Alaskan communities. But, and certainly we could have with smaller projects, but bonds should be for significant capital infrastructures that that can't be accomplished through other through other normal capital capital budget or other mechanisms. So I know the bond council, or not our bond council, our bond Mr. Mitchell is certainly going to be available here. I believe I saw him here to discuss any technicalities, but I think that's the basics of it. So it's a pretty simple approach. We are asking the people of Alaska to pledge the good faith and credit of Alaska, of our state, to with the assistance of the federal government, this short window that we have for this federal instrument that will expire at the end of the year, to help us meet these meet a portion of our current and long-term needs on K-12. Post-secondary and research facilities for the state of Alaska.
Representative Stoltz, the issue with the election in the fall, what kind of consideration was given to either the general or the primary election, or is, how does that work?
Mr. Chairman, it's not a matter of which we have a choice. Our Constitution directs that, and I believe it was, I looked at language in the Constitution. It was, I believe, amended in 1972, clarifying that that bond proposals appear on the general election. And that's probably the most appropriate place if we're talking about pledging the faith and credit of Alaskans for, you know, nearly, for a big portion of a generation. The most possible people possible should be voting on this.
Okay. Well, we can check that. We're going to hold this bill over, but we'll check that, and then because I'm just not sure myself on that, so we'll double check that. But that sounds like a reasonable answer. And we have any initial questions for the bill sponsor, Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not necessarily a question for the sponsor, but along the same lines of what you were talking about, due to the timing of things, and of course. A November election obviously may be the general election, and that obviously brings out probably the largest group of folks, I would assume. But I would also, as you look at it, try and see if a special election would possibly qualify as well as the primary, which would be obviously well advertised. And I think that would be helpful to eliminate all the possibilities and make sure that, in fact, it is has to be a general election.
Mr. Mitchell, could you want to come forward, please? Devin Mitchell. So we have the deputy commissioner here, but he, I didn't know if he was going to, he'd probably throw the question to you anyway, so I figured we'd just cut to the chase. Mr. Mitchell, can you help us with the bonds? Just give the public kind of an overview of how the state does this mechanism, and then where have we in the past, what elections cycles have we used, or can it be a special, can it be the primary, general, what have you?
Sure. Devin Mitchell, state debt manager. General obligation bonds are the best credit that the state of Alaska has to place on loans that it obtains from others, and that's essentially what's going to occur here. We're going to put together a series of legal documents that will obligate the state's full faith and taxing authority, subject to approval of this legislation and concurrence from the voters of the state of Alaska. And in the current market, it would be the best received credit that we could put forward. The timing question is a good one, and I'm not certain. The last couple of general obligation bond propositions were considered in the general election in November, both in 2002 and 2008. And so there has been that precedent, but I am not knowledgeable on the constitutional requirement that it be held in that election. As far as the timing, as Representative Stoltz pointed out, there is some special allowance in the bill, in as much as in statute it's a requirement that we normally sell these bonds through a competitive process, which is a less flexible process whereby you select an underwriter upon the date that you're selling the bonds to third parties, the individual investors that are buying your bonds. And so you don't have the ability to structure your debt service to meet specific investors' needs as well, because you put out a document that is basically saying, here's our credit, here's how this is going to be structured 2 weeks in advance of that sale, so you can give it your best guess, but you won't be able to respond to changes that occur in that time frame.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and just double check that. My recollection is Representative Stoltz is correct. I see he's reading the Constitution as we speak, so.
And Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Rep. Stoltz.
I may be in error. I think I might have been mistaken that maybe constitutional amendments was amended in 72, and so I'm looking, perusing this. So there may be greater flexibility, so I am ready to admit I was in error, wrong, mistaken, not correct, but maybe. In the face, maybe. Okay. Possibly, likely.
Okay. Well, we'll clarify that. Clearly, if it's a possibility, there is an advantage for earlier than later as far as timing of the construction field. Any other questions for the bill sponsor or Mr. Mitchell while he's there? Senator Huggins and then yeah. Senator Olson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to thank Representative Bill Stoltz. He and I worked together, shared a district, and, you know, he's one of the smartest guys I know of on a whole bunch of things, and his memory is beyond peer, but he very insightful, and it's always refreshing to me to work with a guy like Bill on something like this, because you can have confidence that he, in fact, knows the process and knows how to make things work, and I'd just like to compliment him on that.
Okay. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I, too, echo what Senator Huggins says. I've never seen anybody with a memory as impeccable as Representative Stoltz, and I appreciate him bringing forth this GO bond bill that's there. I was wondering, though, as you look at what's going on in the future, as we deal with bigger and bigger numbers, do you see in the foreseeable future where we're going to have another bond package that's out there to cover some of the same issues that we're dealing with here?
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, and those accolades are probably pretty shallow. If I was likely wrong on that question about bonds on the general, whichever way, that'll be good if we do have flexibility. But this certainly will remain an option. This year, it's certainly more of an option because of the Fed, we've got pretty good rates going, and the federal assist on this one, which over the life of this, about $30 million, which is I don't know, about 7 or 8%. That's a good catch to reduce the overall cost to Alaskans. But some of our needs and with the courts nipping at our tails on telling us we need to meet our obligations on so many different fronts, this may be the mechanism. But that's for future discussions. But that's one, and I don't know if we'll have them as an attractive position as we do have now to alleviate some of the pressure on our legitimate needs and those that we're facing external pressure on as well. So it's now I can speak what's probably the I can speak what's the appropriate approach in my view for dealing with these issues this year, and everything else is speculation. I don't know what the situation of our state. I hope we're making other decisions that will make our future and our possibility a lot more solid than they might appear right now.
Okay, do we have any other questions for the Representative Stoltz? Mr. Mitchell, you have a comment you want to make?
Just to the point that in particular with some of the secondary schools that are proposed, there is a allocation of qualified school construction bonds to the state of Alaska in 2009 and 2010. And that those bonds can now be issued as direct subsidy bonds, whereby the issuer receives 100% reimbursement from the federal government on debt service. And so that's about $57 million of the total proposed package, where you would essentially just be repaying principal over the and those have to be structured inside 17 years. But the net benefit of that is just about half of the authorization in savings on interest expense. So
in what you're telling us is that the, if I heard you correctly, the three schools, we would basically have no interest costs on our bonded indebtedness?
Up to $57 million, that's correct.
Okay, up to $57 million. Rep. Stoltz?
And Mr. Chairman, for those that are watching or listening, I neglected to mention two important projects that on this in my haste, starting at the K-12 schools, and that's the Mount Inchcombe facility and the Juneau State Library and Museum, Archives and Museum projects at the top of the list. So that's, I just, two folks here at the table, I know you noticed them, that they were there, but for the public listening, those I didn't include those in my otherwise exhaustive list of all the projects in there. So.
Okay. We have one fiscal note from the Department of Revenue for $10,000 in general funds for the FY11 to cover the cost of public notice requirements. Debt repayment will begin in FY12 at a cost of $29 million. $769,600 in general funds, and just as a point, that debt service of roughly $30 million would come out of our operating account through our normal operating cash flow collections every year, and if the state did run a deficit due to decline in oil price or production, then the entire general fund would fall back on the savings. Mr. Mitchell.
Mr. Chair, thank you again. One point, if we do move up if we are able to under the Constitution move up the consideration of the proposition and issue the debt earlier in the calendar year, it is likely that we would want to have an interest expense payment in fiscal year 2011. And so there is a catch-all appropriation in the operating budget for general obligation debt service that any amount required is appropriated, but we would want to amend our fiscal note to be sure to be able to satisfy the conservative requirements of the market right now, whereas otherwise we'd have to have an 8-month first coupon, which we can do, but it could have some subtle negative effect on the issue because it's assigned in some other arenas of fiscal stress.
Right, we can work that out, odd period payment issue. We can work that out. We have, we'll go ahead and have the public hearing portion. We have no one signed up in the room to testify on it. We have, and we have no call-ins. Do we have any final comments or questions to Rep. Stoltz? Seeing no questions, Rep. Stoltz, you have any final comments on this bill before we set it aside?
Look forward to coming back again.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We'll now move on to the next item. You ready? Okay, we'll take a brief at ease.
Committee back to order. Before us today, we have House Bill 369 by Representative Chenault regarding in-state gas pipeline. This is the first hearing on the bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and put the bill aside for further review. To present the bill, we have the Speaker of the House, Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members, for allowing 369 to be heard in Senate Finance today. 369 forms a Joint In-State Gas Line Development Team, or JIGDIT, as the acronym. It includes the Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Housing Finance, who would be the designated chair, the Chief Executive of the Alaska Railroad, or designee, the Commissioner of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, or his designee, and also the Chief Executive of the Alaska Natural Gas Development Authority, and also the In-State Gas Line Coordinator or Project Manager. It also describes the duties of the In-State Gas Line Coordinator in statute. It sets a deadline of July 1st, 2011 to ensure that a project plan is presented to the legislature. Project plan must specify how in-state gas line can be designed, constructed, and made operational by December 31st of 2015. Project plan must also include the specific plans to coordinate and facilitate the construction, ownership, operation, and management of the pipeline. The development team is to prepare plans and designs necessary for construction, coordinate with the entities qualified to build, own, and operate. Route selection is to be determined by the development team, but the route to be selected needs to be the most economical, provide gas to residents at a reasonable cost, and to use state lands and right-of-ways to the maximum extent possible. House Bill 369 also establishes an expedited process for information access and cooperation among state entities. The bill outlines the duties of the development team, but yet gives it the flexibility to the development team to determine what actions are necessary to complete the project. It also pre-authorizes the Alaska Natural Gas Development Authority to issue bonds for gas-related programs and projects. Approval from the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, though, is also required before ANGDA could issue any of those bonds. Mr. Chairman, I'll try to keep it short. I know you're busy. I've watched this process for a number of years, and I've watched how we've tried to tackle in-state gas and providing an energy security to residents of the state. I feel that if we go forward with this project, this gives us the best opportunity at looking at in-state gas. Not only does it provide the jobs of a pipeline, but Mr. Chairman, what it does is it provides Alaska with a future. Currently, as you know, Cook Inlet gas supplies are drying up. While studies show that there's gas available, The studies also show how many billions of dollars it's going to take to find that gas, if it is indeed there. So, Mr. Chairman, you know, this is an opportunity, I believe, for Alaska to move forward. Does it address all the energy needs of Alaska today? No, it doesn't. But I think, Mr. Chairman, once we have a 100-year gas supply for this state that we know is solid and it'll be there, it gives us the opportunities of not only to have in-state distribution of gas to other areas of the state, but it also allows us to have the economic ability to have more jobs with the in-state use of our own natural resources versus expediting or exporting all of those resources to other markets to allow them to make products out of and use the resource. So, Mr. Chairman, this will allow us to, Alaska, I believe, to move forward, to have that energy security. And, Mr. Chairman, I'm here to answer questions. My staff, Tom Wright, is here to, if you want to go through by the section. There's also other members, I think, that are either here or online that are here to answer questions as far as the construction of the team and fiscal note and other things. So, Mr. Chairman?
We would like Mr. Wright to go through by section, but before that, if members have any questions of Speaker Chenault on his opening comments, Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not specifically a question, but it will lead to one anyhow, and I certainly appreciate the intent of HB 369, and certainly it doesn't address all the needs, as you admit, of the state of Alaska, but that's been part of our problem, is trying to address all of the needs in one particular fashion. So this obviously kind of focuses us on one of the most important elements, which is a bullet line, and or whatever the folks may call it, what they come up with. There's no doubt a variety of routes. Hopefully we can narrow that. That's been one of the concerns, I think, is the idea that we were not focused on what we're trying to do. So this looks good for a while and something else comes into play, so we keep kind of jumping around a little bit. So hopefully this will cause that team to get that plan in mind, and I think that's the purpose of the bill, is to actually focus on exactly what we need to do and what's most beneficial to the state. So I appreciate that. And you also mentioned another important thing to me, obviously, and everybody in the state, I think, in that regards, the jobs that it will come from this particular project. So hopefully they'll also focus on the need there, as well as making sure that the training is put in place, so which we do a lot of talking about training, and we do spend a lot of money on it. But obviously two very important issues for the state that I think we're actually coming to grips with here. So I thank you for the bill.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. Are there further questions of the speaker? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker, as you look at the bonding authority and the issuance of bonds, what kind of bond issuing do you plan on? What's the amount of this you're planning on issuing? Do you have an approximate amount anyway?
Senator Olson, through the chair, my understanding is it's about $250
million. $250
million.
Follow, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
That is the ANGDA portion of the bonding capacity.
Okay. The other thing is, there are other in-state pipelines that are out there. How does this one either differ, or how does it complement the other in-state pipelines that are being proposed as we look at the big line between in the Trans-Canada and the comparison between that and the Denali project? How do you compare, or what does this do differently than the other ones don't?
Mr. Speaker.
Or Senator Olson, through the chair, how it differs is this deals with in-state gas use. You know, we know we have the Trans-Canada project that's out there. We also have the Denali project. Those projects may not go through. We don't have that, you know, I don't have the crystal ball to tell me whether they're going to happen or not. But I don't think that we can wait, knowing what the gas supply is in the Cook Inlet that feeds the rail belt. I don't think that we have the luxury to continue to wait and see if those projects actually get through. At some point in time, you know, we have an open season shortly on Trans-Canada. Maybe that project does move forward, and that gives Alaska a different option as far as tying into a bigger line, which I think most of us do realize would be a cheaper option if indeed it ever does come to pass. So while I don't want it to be in competition with a line going outside through Canada, I think that we have to have this option available, and we need to have it on the table and ready to move forward at that time.
Mr. Chairman, I can clear my question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senator Olson?
Yes, my question has to do with there are other in-state lines proposed, and as you compare the two, Denali and TransCanada, those are intrastate. I'm looking at other in-state, and how does this 369 pipeline proposal compare to the other in-state proposals for those pipelines that are there, other bullet pipelines that are there?
Mr. Speaker.
Senator Olson, through the chair, as far as if you're talking about the All-Alaska line, this project is, I'm not telling the in-state gas line team what project they have to design. If they determine that there's a market and they determine that the most economic thing to do for Alaska is to build a 48-inch line from Prudhoe Bay to Cook Inlet or Prudhoe Bay to Valdez or where they think that option is, then that's what I'm waiting for them to come back. I think that it's been part of the legislature's problem is that we've dug into these projects trying to tell these corporations which project to build, and have not allowed them to come forward with that project to tell us which is the most economic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Senator Olson. Are there further questions of the Speaker? If not, we would
Mr.
go
Chairman.
To Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would be remiss. I looked around a little bit earlier and I didn't see my cohort in crime. But I believe she's sitting behind me, Mr. Chairman, and with the indulgence of the Finance Committee, I would like to see if you would allow Senator McGuire up here. We've worked side by side on two bills that were similar. We had differences of opinion, which is not uncommon in this building, and we were able to, I believe, Mr. Chairman, put together a bill that mirrors the things that she would like to see and I would like to see. There was some compromise, and so I would like to get Senator McGuire up here and have her talk about the bill also.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Speaker Chenault, for having me up here. Absolutely. Just echoing the comments that the Speaker made, we see this as one of the most important issues facing our state, and we all have important issues that we're working on. But both the Speaker and I have been a part of an in-state gas caucus, along with Senator Huggins and Senator Thomas, looking at what we can do in our rail belt to meet the energy needs moving forward. But more broadly, in terms of an economic development opportunity for the state, and I know, Mr. Chairman, you and I have talked in particular about the broader benefits that we see in terms of propane offtake for the rest of Western Alaska, in terms of a potential partnering on the tariff and spreading the benefits throughout the state. But we really see this in-state gas line as the next 50 years of Alaska's history. And both of us arrived at our bills through a similar frustration that I think was echoed by Senator Thomas, that through these last 30 years, we have a lot of studies, a lot of libraries that have been built up on in-state gas, and with a lot of great ideas and minds behind them, but none of them have come into fruition. And AGEA is an idea that's out there, and I think both of us have been really careful not to criticize AGEA or to criticize the members that supported that or continue to support that. And in fact, in our bill, we make it clear that this project will be complementary and not competitive. But there's a very real prospect that with shale discoveries in the lower 48, that our open season for AGEA, for both either the Denali project or the TransCanada project, may not be what we had hoped that they would be. And that's just a fact. In the meantime, we sat around and said, what are we going to do as Alaskans? Are we going to wait until that moment comes some 2-3 years from now? And then what? And will we be ready and in a position for Alaska to move forward? So the point in the bill and the compromises that we made is to bring together a team of Alaskans and the resources that they have with a clear timeline and a directive. And that timeline is aggressive. We want them and are directing them to pick up the data that's out there from a variety of sources, some that the speakers brought in, some that we've brought in, to lay it all out and to pick up and go through this summer season, to collect more data via the right-of-way, the environmental impact statements, et cetera, to come back in December. December 15th is the first timeline you see, and again, it's a merger of our bills with any legislative recommendations that there might be. And then in the following year, which would be 2011, we're asking for letters of intent from buyers and sellers of commercial gas. And I want to make it clear on the record that we are asking this team of Alaskans to meet with buyers and sellers of gas. We're asking them to reconvene the commercial work that they've been doing under Harry Noah and under Rob Swenson. And then to finally to come forward July 1st. Both of our bills had July 1st of 2011 with a plan. And once that plan comes forward, there's going to be the question of whether or not a private sector entity could build it. And then, Mr. Chairman, you know, as we've discussed, whether or not the state may want a partner, we don't know. But that's kind of the point of having AHFC, ANGDA, and the railroad at the table as well, because they have unique bonding authority abilities. And it wouldn't be unusual to see an infrastructure project like this with some bonds. It wouldn't be unusual either to see the state partner. And I just want to say that publicly, that for many years, I think we've talked about this project as something that had to prove up its economics at the outright, at the outset. And just wrapping up, I think that's the philosophical shift that the speaker and I have made, which is one of saying that, you know, kind of like a highway or a railroad that connect states to one another, that open up economic opportunities, we see this steel highway as a chance for Alaska to move forward into its next chapter of economic development. And so that's the bill. There's a merger. I'd be happy, as you move through the technical elements, to speak to the parts that came from my bill, if you need those. But just want to give a thanks to the speaker, to his idea. We're on a team, and we're really urging your quick support of this so that we can get it signed into law.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. Are there questions from the committee of the senator?
If I could, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Huggins.
Just a comment and a congratulations. You know, I remember just a week plus ago, people were saying, well, those two hard heads can never come to a conclusion. And others were saying, lock them in a room until they do. And look at, they're sitting at the head of the table and have brought us a solution that I think has moved the potential for this project well forward. And I just congratulate both of them for that and say thanks.
Senator Huggins. Further questions? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you just go over for me a little bit more how ANGDA fits into this process moving forward? From what they're doing today and what you envision them doing here to contribute to this effort.
Okay, I'll speak to this through the chair, Senator Ellis. You have a couple of things in the bill with respect to ANGDA. The first part of it, under Speaker Chenault's original bill, ANGDA has a seat at the table, and under the combined bill, they have a seat at the table in the in-state gas caucus, with the subsidiary of AHFC at the head and Dan Fauske, Harold Hines being the current CEO of that group, will sit as a member of the team to advise and be a part of going forward. We've asked Harold and have made it clear in our meetings that the work that he's doing with respect to a spur on AGEA and some of these other things are not really at the forefront of what's happening with the in-state gas team, but of course are important because they're the institutional knowledge of what's going on. So we think it's Harold's background. We think that he's got a lot of institutional knowledge, a lot of data to bring to the table, and again, will be one of the voices along with the Alaska Railroad, DOT, and an in-state gas coordinator. The second part of the bill that you see is a merger. It's the last few pages, actually, of the bill. That is House Bill 44. That was a Speaker Chenault bill that we merged into this. That bill expands ANGDA's authority to more closely reflect the activities that they're conducting today. Two areas in particular that Harold highlighted in the Senate Resources Committee were the propane project in Western Alaska and the Cook Inlet Utilities Commercial Working Group. He's been working with them over the last few months to try and bring together and address the supply problem that we have in Cook Inlet. He feels that without that expansion of authority that he cannot continue those projects. I'd love to have him here before you more properly to answer it, but the second part of the bill is that it gives formally ANGDA $250 million worth of bonding authority. Of course, that bonding authority would still, the check on that would still have to come through the legislature. So if any bonds were issued, much like AHFC or the railroad, the legislature would have the final say. But, just very candidly, Harold is one of those folks that's a lightning rod, and we recognize this, and this was something early on that Speaker Chenault and I had a lot of talking about, in terms of who you get in the room and how many captains you can have. We think that Harold understands his role on this body. We think he has wisdom, and we think that Dan Fauske and John Binkley and the leaders that are there will be a complement to his style of leadership.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. Senator Ellis?
Thanks. No, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Ellis. Further questions? If not, we would invite Mr. Wright back to the table to go through the bill's section analysis. Mr. Wright, can you identify yourself for the record and proceed in order?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Tom Wright, staff to Speaker Chenault. You should have in your packets the sectional analysis, and what I've done with that sectional analysis is underline in bold the changes that were adopted in Senate Resources. I'll try to go over this briefly. There's a lot to this bill, and so I'll try and be as brief as possible. Looking at Section 1, Section 1 basically the legislative findings and purpose. Those were taken from Senator McGuire's bill and incorporated into this bill. Section 2 adds a new subsection, and it creates a subsidiary within AHFC, and the plan is to plan, construct, and finance an in-state gas line, or to aid in planning, construction, or finance an in-state gas line. It exempts the subsidiary from Title 36, public contracts, and also AS 36-3015 and executive branch DNF, which are executive branch agencies. Section 3 adds a new subsection. This adds a subsidiary of AHFC under Section 2 of this bill to the list of those agencies or entities of which AS 36 does not apply. Section 4 is the meat of the bill. This adds a new chapter, Chapter 34, which deals with the in-state natural gas pipeline. It adds it to AS 38. Section 38-34-010, this is establishing the position of the in-state gas line coordinator within the Office of the Governor. We get on to the next section, 38-34-020. This requires expedited action by agencies or entities, state agencies or entities. And what we mean by that is that any agency who has been involved in any previous gas line work or has information that is going to be relevant to the Joint In-State Gas Line Development Team, upon request, they are to expedite that information to this team. Section 38-34-030 establishes the Joint In-State Gas Line Development Team, and as you've heard the Speaker and Senator McGuire, they describe the members who are participating in the team, and the chair, who is the executive director of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, is the overseer of this process, will be the decision maker when it comes time to make final decisions with the input from the team. 38-34-040 describes the duties of the development team, and the main purpose is to produce a project plan for the development of an in-state gas line and that plan is to be completed and delivered to the legislature by July 1st, 2011. The rest of the section describes all the duties that they are to undertake through this process. Section 3834050 is cooperation and access to information, and this states that the development team may have access to a state agency or entity's information to include confidential information that may relate to the in-state gas line or prove useful in the planning, in the design, construction, or operation. And it also states that confidential information received by the development team is to be kept confidential. We also have a section in there on the access to information for the DNR is to grant AHFC a right-of-way lease under AS 3835. That's the Right-of-Way Leasing Act. The lease application is made the subject of notice and other reasonable and appropriate publication requirements under notice of application statutes, and the corporation agrees to be bound by the right-of-way lease covenants that are set out in covenant statutes. And also the right-of-way lease granted under this section, under C of the section, is subject to AS 3805, that's the Alaska Land Act, except the best interest findings requirements do not apply. 3834060 describes the conflicts of interest. If a member does have a conflict of interest, they are to state it, and it is to be disclosed as soon as possible. Then we get into 3834099, that's the definition section, and basically there's two different items that need to be defined under this bill. Section 5, it amends the exempt service statutes, and it adds the in-state gas line project coordinator to the exempt service list. Then we get into Section 6, 7, 8, 9, and 11. These were all taken from House Bill 44. Section 7 amends the authority, establishment of the authority, and expands the acquisition of natural gas to include other regions, other state, to include the Alaska Outer Continental Shelf and what may be delivered to markets within the state. Section 8, another definition section, it amends the definition of the project to include other regions of the state. As most of you are aware, when ANGDA was formed, it had a pretty specific duty and was limited to, you know, a specific portion of the state. This expands the duties as was provided for by then-Governor Palin back a few years ago, and we decided to include it in this bill to make sure that ANGDA had authority other than just what they were originally supposed to work on. Then we add a section to section, or section 9, that adds a new paragraph to AS 4141990. That describes the North Slope to mean that part of the state that lies north of 68 degrees north latitude to include the Brooks Range. Then we have section 10, the new section to uncodified law, and Senator McGuire kind of went over that. That defines some of the duties and the dates that some of these duties are to be, that reports are to be delivered to the legislature. We get into Section 11, that's the new section to uncodified law as well, and that gives pre-authorization to ANGDA to issue up to $250 million in bonds to acquire a gas supply, develop Cook Inlet, Fairbanks markets, or whatever they think is necessary to use that bonding authority for. The pre-issuance of bond, before issuing bonds, they have to go to LBNA, and if LBNA approves or disapproves, it's then brought to the legislature. They have to act within 5 days of when the legislature goes into session. Section 12 is an immediate effective date, and I know that's a rather quick analysis of what's in the bill. I will try to answer any questions regarding the sectional. We also have other people here who could testify and talk about their duties as well. I won't try to get into the specific duties because we feel that it's going to be important for the team to develop what each member is going to be undertaking under the direction of Mr. Fowsky. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll wrap up.
Thank you, Mr. Wright, for that section analysis. Do we have members questions on the presentation? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the sectional analysis. You mentioned confidential information. How do you anticipate the group working as far as public notice of what takes place and what meetings in regards to the Alaska Open Meetings Law, I suppose, will probably become an issue at some point in time with some folks?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Thomas, we did not exempt the team from the Open Meetings Act. They can go into executive session for two specific purposes. one, discussing finances or operations that might have a potential effect upon the state, or when they're discussing confidential information.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. Further questions of Mr. Wright? Seeing none, thank you. We'll go there are three fiscal notes in the packet, one from the governor's office for $350,700 in general funds to cover the cost of hiring an in-state gas line coordinator, one for the Department of Transportation for $1,451,000.1 in general fund dollars for right-of-way permitting, and one from the Department of Revenue for $21,340,000.6 in general funds for the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. We'll proceed on to public testimony. The first individual up in the room is Barbara Huff. Please come to the table and, Tom Wright.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tom Wright for the record again. The fiscal note from DOT does not apply now with the fiscal note from AHFC. That incorporates all the state agencies and what the agencies think they may need, so the DOT fiscal note is no longer valid.
Okay, we'll pass the corrected one out. Barbara Huff, please come up representing the Teamsters. I know you're married now, but I can't read the your writing of your last name.
Tuckness.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Barbara Huff Tuckness. I'm the director of governmental legislative affairs for Teamsters Local 959, and I'm here today to speak in favor of House Bill 369, and to also thank both Senator McGuire and Speaker Chenault for the great work that they did actually put in this bill. I think it is a step forward. Hopefully, here in the near future, we will actually see some Alaskan gas for some Alaskan workers, and that actually brings me to the point that I am here today to speak on not only behalf of the Teamster members that would be working in construction area, but the many workers across the state, because there is, and I believe Senator Thomas touched on it a little bit earlier, there is no provision in here that actually guarantees that you will see Alaskan workers on this particular project, and we wanted to bring this to the committee's attention. We did have discussion when this bill was in Senate Resources. It was suggested that we bring it before Senate Finance and have that discussion here. I'll give you a few examples. We had workers, illegal aliens, working at one of the bases in Anchorage, a huge investigation. We had the incident recently in Fairbanks at one of the bases with an outside contractor bringing in out-of-state workers. We've had a success record with project labor agreements. The most recent, the missile defense, we had 90% local hire. We had 70% Alaskan Native workers on those projects. Again, a consideration that we hope that as you're going through your deliberations in this bill, that you would seriously consider. The second, while probably not insignificant, is the fact that there is no mention of training. And I can say thank you to each and every member here on Senate Finance, because that was something that you did incorporate into your financial package with the most recent budget. Continuing to train Alaskan workers for Alaskan jobs should be first and foremost on the top of your list, and for that we appreciate all of your time and effort and consideration for Alaskan workers with this particular project. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Do we have any questions? Thank you again. We have three individuals online committee members may want to ask questions of. They include Harold Hines of ANGDA, Dan Fowski of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and Frank Richards from the Deputy Commissioner of DOT. Do members have...
Frank's here.
Oh, Frank's here. Do any members have questions of these? All three of these are available for questions. Senator Ellis.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since Mr. Hines is a constituent of mine, and I have respect for his abilities and his institutional memory, I'd give him the opportunity to make a brief statement about his, what he sees as his role in this process moving forward, if he cares to.
Mr. Hines, are you online?
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Thank you very much. This is Harold Hines. I'm the CEO of the Alaska Natural Gas Development Authority. In response to Senator Ellis, who I'm proud to be a constituent of through the chair, I'd like to just make maybe a couple things clear. One, ANGA is extremely supportive of the direction provided by the legislature in this bill. It provides the kind of direction and guidance that I think will allow the team to succeed, and I think that is a very important thing for all of Alaska right now. I guess the other part I'd like to emphasize is that ANGDA is very happy to participate in this team. In Senate Resources the other day, hopefully I embarrassed Mr. Fauske by describing how strongly I feel about being able to work under his leadership and forward, and we're very excited about that.
Thank you, Mr. Hines. Do we have any questions of Mr. Hines? We would offer the same courtesy to Dan Fauske. Do you have any comments that you would like to make, and what role you see in this legislation, and how will that affect your duties to your primary responsibility, the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation?
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, and to the members, I am excited about this opportunity. First off, arrangements will be made when necessary to carry on the good and ongoing work of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. We've got very capable staff, and staff I visited with are very excited about this as Alaskans, and have offered total support. I look forward as well to a team concept, which I really appreciate. And hopefully it's my job to create an atmosphere where we can get the best amount of work and good quality product through a good team effort, and get back to the legislature and to the people of Alaska with a viable product and program and project that can go forward. So I'm really excited about this. I am very humbled by the support and confidence people have in me, and I'm just going to work my utmost to make sure that I accomplish that. So my word is that the work of HFC is going to continue, and the work of this commission is going to continue, and I appreciate Harold's comments and others with Mr. Binkley and others I've talked to. This is an exciting time, and I'm very, very excited about it.
This will not deter from your weatherization and energy efficiency duties, will it?
No, sir, it will not. I give you my assurance it will not.
Any other questions from Mr. Fauske? With that, concludes the public testimony. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify? Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I feel compelled to say a few words as well, so thank you for the opportunity. John Binkley again from Fairbanks, Chairman of the Alaska Railroad Corporation. I as well just want to echo the sentiments of others being able to participate in this project, to be a part of the team, and I think Mr. Fauske said it very accurately. It is a team. He's the chairman of the team, and I certainly look forward to working with he and the other members in pushing forward a gas line and getting energy and jobs for Alaskans, not just in the short term, but for generations to come.
As a former chairman of this committee, do you miss the work here?
Well, let me just say that I prefer the view from that end of the table rather from this end of the table.
Thank you for those comments. Are there any questions of Mr. Binkley from the committee members? Thank you again.
Thank you.
Are there any other members that would like to testify on this legislation? Is there anybody else online? If not, that concludes the work on this legislation, and we'll set it aside for deliberation at a much early date in the future. With that, we'll have a brief at ease.
come back on the record. Take up now House Concurrent Resolution 22 by House Community and Regional Affairs regarding the Alaska Northern Waters Task Force. This is the first hearing on this resolution. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the resolution, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. With us today is Representative Jewell, who will gladly, after he introduces himself, walk us through this resolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, Representative Reggie Jewell, House District 40.
Good.
Thank you for hearing this concurrent resolution today. Just as a broad overview, because of Alaska's place in the Arctic, it puts us in a unique spot in a global conversation about Arctic waters and what's going on with Arctic waters. And from that place, there are many conversations that are going on because of the melting ice on the polar cap about freight traffic ships going over the Northwest Passage, the presence even more so of cruise ships as we move along, the possibilities of new fisheries out into the future, the increased activity and need for the Coast Guard, the outer continental shelf development, increased access to natural resources. These are all things that would help, or excuse me, that gives the Northern Waters Task Force an opportunity to get the legislature and people of these communities involved in these discussions that are happening in our nation's capital and in many parts of the north. And there's many opportunities to be had, but unless people are understanding of what's going on with regards to the waters, there's going to be some trepidation. So this task force would be an effort to begin the process of gathering all of this, these folks, and getting that information on the ground. And the way this would be structured, Mr. Chairman, is to have two senators appointed by the Senate President, two representatives by the Speaker, seven members appointed jointly by the Speaker and the Senate President. Five of the members would be public, three of whom would reside in the coastal areas, and then two that would be at large, because this conversation is more than just the Northern Waters. It involves all of Alaska, so it would give an opportunity for the University of Alaska or some other resource people or organizations to join in this conversation, as well as a member from the executive branch and one member from the federal agencies. So that's a very brief overview of the resolution and what it's attempting to do. And I thank you very, very much for bringing this up and hearing it at this time.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any initial questions on the resolution for the Representative Jewell? We have, seeing none, there is one fiscal note from the legislature for $150,000 in general funds to cover the cost of travel and expert witnesses on the task force. We'll now move to the public testimony portion. If you can identify yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the resolution, please. We'll start with Meade Treadwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just quickly would like to say, as chair of the U.S. Arctic Research Commission, we would be very happy to work with this task force. I've worked with several members of the legislature who have been sponsoring it, and I believe it would be very useful. I could give you a long list, and I won't, of the activities going on right now to try to structure Arctic shipping. I was flying with the Russian Border Guard and the head of the Coast Guard just this week over Diomede and talking about what kind of rules may need to be set. And my honest assessment as an Alaskan is that we need to be
involved as we can on what those rules should be. The other point, and this goes back to the work of the Finance Committee, is that as this ocean becomes more accessible, we're going to need to think about ports and harbors and listening devices and all of those things to spot ships coming. And it's very important that the state be thinking about that as well. And I believe the board is structured well, and from the commission standpoint, I can tell you that we've done a lot to coordinate work within the federal government on shipping to get people to think about it, and we're very happy to work with this task force if it moves forward.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Treadwell, for your testimony. That concludes the offline. No one has signed up in the LIOs. No one signed up in the room here. So that concludes our public testimony portion. Any final questions, concerns for the Representative Jewell? Representative Jewell, you have any final comments on the resolution?
I look forward to being here when you're ready to pass it, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Jewell, we're going to set this aside, and when we bring it back, it'll probably be so quick on the table you won't even be able to grab the seat.
Appreciate that,
unless
Mr.
there's
Chairman.
Some issues. We'll keep you posted in these last days. We'll have an at ease. Jump around the schedule a little bit. We're going to jump down to 376. We're going to round up the other bill sponsors, as this is in the last days of the session where there's conflicts around, so we're flexible with our colleagues of the House to a certain degree. Start with House Bill 376 by the House and Health and Social Services Committee regarding a sunset extension for the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. With us today is Representative Herron's staff. Anybody from Herron's staff? There she is. You can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent, and then speak to the extension of the or speak to the bill, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Liz Clement. I'm staff to District 38 Representative Bob Herron, who is co-chair, along with Representative Wes Keller of the House Health and Social Services Committee. House Bill 376 is a House HESS Committee bill to extend the sunset date of the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners 8 years from its current expiration date of June 30th, 2010 to a new sunset on June 30th, 2018. The board is composed of 5 volunteer members who, with support from staff in the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, license and regulate psychologists and psychological associates in our state. In doing so, they ensure Alaska's practitioners meet appropriate educational and practice standards and provide safe, professional psychological support services to anyone who seeks them. The 2009 Division of Legislative Audit report included in your bill packet finds no substantive problems with the board or its performance, affirms the value of the role it fills, and recommends an 8-year extension. The fiscal note provided by DCCED estimates an annual budget of $78,500 covered fully by licensing fees collected from applicants, no further state dollars required. We have with us representatives of the Division of Legislative Audit, DCCED, and the profession, I believe. I, along with them, will be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Do we have any initial questions on the extension? I'm seeing none. We have one fiscal note from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development for $78,500 in receipt supported services to continue the board funding included in the 11 cap or operating budget. Maybe we can have Pat Davidson. Well, Ms. Davidson, you've been sitting there a long time and they're hard benches. Even though you've marked it for respond to questions, I would take the opportunity to have you come forward and introduce yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit.
Has your department found any deficiencies or any concerns with the extension request?
Mr. Chairman, we recommended an extension to June 30, 2018. We did have three recommendations with regard to activities of this board. However, they were mostly ministerial in their manner, and therefore we didn't believe that they substantially impaired the board, which is why we gave the typical eight-year extension recommendation.
Okay. We have any questions for Ms. Davidson? Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Davidson. We have nobody signed up to testify. No one's in the LIOs, so we'll go ahead and close public testimony. Any final comments from the bill sponsor?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any final concerns? Okay, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. Next up, we'll pick up House Bill 294 by Representative Newman regarding the use of regulations and operation of boats. This is the first hearing on this bill. Intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. With us today is Rep. Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 294 extends the sunset date on the Alaska Boater Safety Program up to 2013.
If you could just maybe introduce yourself for the record so we...
Mr. Chair, Representative Mark Newman, Susitna Valley, House 15. Mr. Chair, the Alaska Boating Safety Program keeps a successful and life-saving program while ensuring state-managed boat safety programs in Alaska. There are several components to this program consisting of the educational efforts which have provided boating safety education to more than 63,000 children. For adults, the Alaska Waterwise Boating Safety Course has been attended by over 1,400 Alaskans, and there are currently 104 certified instructors across the state. In addition to providing these educational opportunities and materials to the public, the program also educates the Alaska State Troopers and other law enforcement officials. The Alaska Boating Safety Program also is the primary provider for the life jackets for the Kids Don't Float program. You're probably very familiar with that if you've been to any of the boat launches around or along around some of the lakes where you see the providers or the life jackets hanging there. They've provided over 20,000 life jackets at 514 life jacket loan stations in 153 communities and organizations. Mr. Chair, since this program started, Alaskan boating facilities have decreased by 20%. Compliance with basic boating safety standards has increased, and so far 17 children wearing Kids Don't Float life jackets have been rescued from Alaska waters. So I ask you to help support 294.
We have any questions for the sponsor? Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Newman, I appreciate you sponsoring this and extending the Boating Safety Act is very valuable, especially in my community as well. I'm just wondering, we're talking about extending the psychiatrist for 8 years, and we're talking about extending boating safety for not eight. I'm just wondering why we can't extend the Boating Safety Act to eight years as well.
Representative Newman, can you help us with the date on the extension, please?
Through the chair, Senator Egan, the sunset date was set in the Finance Committee. The original version handed out several years beyond that.
How many years? What was it?
The original version had the bill headed out, I think, believe 4 or 6 years, Senator.
Okay. 4 years? Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative.
And we have no one on the LIOs, no one's called in, no one signed up for public testimony. Anybody want to come speak on it? That's too bashful to sign in? Okay. Seeing no final questions or concerns, Rep. Newman, do you have any final comments before we set this bill aside?
Just to say thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing my bill in a prompt manner, and for the members for all the time and response that they have on this and supporting this in their communities.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. Oh, just a second here before we do. Let me back up. There's one fiscal note from the Department of Natural Resources showing the cost of continuing the program with $200,000 in general funds. Funding for this program is included in the FY11 budget. We'll now go on to the final item on today's calendar. It's the one we've been looking for all day. House Bill 342 by Representative Tammy Wilson regarding the sunset extension for the Board of Real Estate Appraisers. This is the first hearing on this bill. Intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. I'd like to go ahead and welcome Representative Wilson to her first Senate Finance Committee meeting, if my memory's correct.
Your memory is correct, sir.
All right. Well, we're a friendly lot. Don't believe the wild rumors.
Not what I've heard, but thank you. For the record, my name is Tammy Wilson. I'm representing for District 11. And before the committee is HB 342, a bill to extend the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers to June 30th, 2014. This statewide board is comprised of five members to establish real estate appraiser exam specifications and rules of professional conduct. The board is funded by the RSS funds through receipts from licensing fees. No new funds are required to implement this bill. And if you have any questions, I brought help. Thank you.
Okay. A lifeline. Well, hopefully you won't need it. Any initial questions for the bill sponsor? Maybe we can have Ms. Davidson come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit.
Ms. Davidson, can you help us with this board extension? Is there any issues the committee should be aware of, and why was the recommendation to 14 and not some other 2014 and not some other number?
Certainly. In reviewing this, we found similar administrative issues with this board as the other boards, timely appointment by the governor's office, and needing more support out of the division. However, what's relatively unique with regard to this board is this board was originally set up when Congress passed the Financial Institutions Reform, Recovery, and Enforcement Act back in 1989. It was an upshot of problems that were happening, and they wanted to increase the professional requirements associated with real estate appraisers. Alaska's response to this requirement was to set up this board. If this board does not operate in accordance with those federal guidelines, it could have significant negative impacts with regard to our ability to participate in federal programs. Therefore, when we saw a review that was conducted by a federal agency, and what we saw was delayed or inaction by the board in resolving the issues, we were very concerned about that. While the issues identified by the federal program were not individually significant, the fact that the board wasn't responsive to them was of concern to us. Therefore, we made the recommendation for a four-year extension rather than an eight-year extension.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Davidson? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you look at some of the administrative shortcomings that you found in your audit, did it affect the licensees at all or their ability to go in and conduct their business?
Through the Chair, Senator Olson, I would say no. The type of errors that we found were errors in calculation of fees and information contained in their annual reports. So it didn't really impair the conduct of the licensees with regard to the public.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions, Ms. Davidson? Thank you for your testimony. We have one fiscal note from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development for $99,700 in receipt-supported services to continue the board funding is included in the FY11 budget. There is nobody online, nobody at TLIOs, nobody wants to come forward. Any final questions from the committee? Maybe we can have final comments from the bill's sponsor. Any final comments, Rep. Wilson?
One comment. I just want to say, you know, for my first bill, it was nice for working with the department and understanding how this went. And it was an honor to be able to present this to you all. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll set this bill aside for further review. Unless committee members have any additional comments or concerns, this concludes today's meeting. Although we've had several long days, we've got a couple more coming. Next meeting, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Agenda will be posted later. Meeting adjourned.